You know, in the continuing series of talks on guru issues, today I'm going to talk about Ritvikism. I'll just give an overview of it. This is a slideshow which has been put together by His Holiness Badri Narayan Swami and His Holiness Bhakti Vaibhav Swami. Yeah, as I said, just an overview. So much more could be said, but it gives the basic ideas of what's called here the Ritvik theory and why it's wrong. It's something like Darwin's theory. A lot of people believe in it and it seems to be right to them, but, and if you read the books of Srila Prabhupada, you can fill in what comes after the but. Specious is the word. Nothing to do with species in this. The origin of species. So there's the word specious means it might sound as if it's plausible, but it's not. I'm discussing this because it has become influential. And as in the series of guru issues talks, I can't avoid talking about some of the less savory occurrences and ongoing syndromes within Vaishnava society. In fact, that's what Guru Issues is about. There's no issue if everything is perfect. So people may come to the conclusion that they should adopt this Ritvik theory, but as we can see from the subtitle, it is a speculative assault on the timeless Vedic wisdom. And that will be outlined as we go through this slideshow. Here it's called the Ritvik heresy. It could also be called the Ritvik hoax. The Ritvik theory claims that the disciplic succession should have ended with Srila Prabhupada, that none of Srila Prabhupada's disciples should have become initiating gurus. That's it. In a nutshell, evam parampara praptam. Parampara means one after another. But according to the Ritvik theory, there are no more initiating gurus after Srila Prabhupada. Of course, there are different versions of the Ritvik theory. There's hard Ritvik, soft Ritvik, and all kinds of things. Some people say, well, we have to wait until a pure devotee. Some of them say that, well, when a pure devotee comes, then we'll accept. But mostly that's called a soft Ritvik, I think. And a hard Ritvik means, no, Prabhupada is the initiating guru for all members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness from now until Krishna Consciousness becomes unmanifest. That's 10,000 years. After 10,000 years, Srila Prabhupada, they claim, should have remained the only initiating guru continuing to take disciples after his physical departure through the medium of priestly functionaries called Ritviks or officiating acharyas. Point here, this is a practice without precedent in Vedic tradition. Well, that should sound alarm bells, shouldn't it? You may say, well, there are practices that Srila Prabhupada introduced without precedent in Vedic tradition, such as preaching in the West in itself. But we have to see through guru, sadhu, and shastra. Vedic tradition that can be roughly equated with, or broadly equated with, sadhu in the triad, guru, sadhu, and shastra. We see that whatever Srila Prabhupada did was to, whatever adjustments he may have made are not against guru, sadhu, or shastra. Rather, the Vedic tradition is to accept a physically present spiritual master. This is a cornerstone of Vedic principles. It's just what's been done since time immemorial, unless you're a Sikh. They had 9 gurus, I believe it was, and then they decided we're not going to have any more gurus. And there are some Sikhs who still have an ongoing tradition of gurus, but mainstream Sikhism stopped having any more gurus. It's not a Vedic tradition, Sikhism. But otherwise, within the Vedic tradition, impersonalists, personalists, Shaktas, Shaivas, all those who are within the Vedic tradition, what to speak of those following the yoga school, they all agree you have to have a guru who is personally present in the world to initiate you. And in the Vaishnav Sampradayas, all four Vaishnav Sampradayas teach and practice the tradition of accepting initiation in an ongoing disciplic line. This hardly needs to be said, it would be thought, but surprisingly, some people have another idea. That even though this is the tradition, Srila Prabhupada somehow, according to them, on, I wouldn't even say flimsy evidence, on no evidence whatsoever, that's why I said a speculative assault on the timeless Vedic wisdom. It's speculative. They say that Srila Prabhupada introduced a new system of initiation. Even the Supreme Lord took initiation just to set the example. Ram and Lakshman took initiation from Vasishtha Muni. Krishna and Balaram took initiation from Sandipani Muni. Actually, one thing which I might not get into in this series of talks about guru issues is the meaning of the word initiation, because it's used very broadly within ISKCON to cover all kinds of things. Diksha is commonly translated as initiation, but we have what we call first initiation and second initiation. These are terms that Srila Prabhupada used, but what we're talking about is, well, there's Vedic Upanayanam, there is Pancharatriki Diksha, which is Vaishnavi Diksha, and then there's Agamic Diksha, which is Pancharatrik, Agamic is the same, but Agamic can also cover Shaiva Diksha. It's quite a complex topic, which is why one reason why guru issues are difficult to come to grips with, because it is Vedic tradition is very broad, and there are various schools within that. Therefore, we have to follow a guru to take us to where we're going. Here we have it. From Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. The word, therefore, they have seen the truth means tattva-darshi. And our Ritvik theory proponents would say there is no tattva-darshi left in the world. So we have to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada. That's what they say. However, Srila Prabhupada himself, in his purport to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 943, said, one who is now the disciple is the next spiritual master. And there are many, many, many such statements in Srila Prabhupada's teachings. There is a book compiled by Virabahu Prabhu called The Guru and What Srila Prabhupada Said, with a compilation of so many things that Srila Prabhupada said, just underlining and confirming the fact that Srila Prabhupada expected his disciples to initiate and be gurus in future. Child is the father of man. Who is the child now is expected to be a father or a mother in future. That's just the way the world goes. During his lifetime, or during his manifest presence, conventionally we say lifetime, Srila Prabhupada prepared his disciples to take the role of guru after his departure. This is Mohsin Hassan. I believe this, where was this? No, this was in America, I believe. Anyway, after you, is there any decision being made who will take over? It's a question that was put to Srila Prabhupada several times because Srila Prabhupada, from his physical appearance, was old and he wasn't expected to remain much longer. So after you, is there any decision being made who will take over? Srila Prabhupada replied, yes, all of them will take over. These students who are initiated from me, all of them will act as I am doing, just like I've got many god brothers. They are all acting, and you can see a photograph of Srila Prabhupada with some of his god brothers here. They are all acting. Similarly, all these disciples which I am making, initiating, they are being trained to become future spiritual masters. Whoever is initiated, he is competent to make disciples, but as a matter of etiquette, they do not do so in the presence of their spiritual master. This is the etiquette. Otherwise, they are competent. They can make disciples and spread. Again, from a talk that Srila Prabhupada gave. We are interested in preparing acharya, but the etiquette is, at least for the period the guru is present, one should not become acharya. Even if he is complete, he should not. Because the etiquette is, if somebody comes for being initiated, it is the duty of such a person to bring that prospective candidate to his acharya. It's another point that Srila Prabhupada stressed several times, that the etiquette is, in the presence of the guru, one should not initiate. And this is a point which I plan to discuss in an upcoming talk. That's also an issue concerning gurus. Srila Prabhupada stating, to become an acharya is not very difficult. First of all, to become a very faithful servant of your acharya, follow strictly what he says. Try to please him and spread Krishna consciousness. That's all. It is not at all difficult. And in an upcoming talk, I wish to discuss about different statements about what it means or what is the qualification to be a guru, because sometimes Srila Prabhupada said, and again, of course, this is based on Shastra, that one should be a topmost devotee to be a guru. Sometimes he said you'd be a faithful follower, strict follower. So I want to discuss this apparent, what might seem to be a discrepancy. And by the way, that is one of the duties of gurus to present to their disciples harmonization of various statements in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shastra Juktye Shunipun. Shastra Juktye Shunipun. Dhrita Shadhaja Uttamadhikari Shaitareye Shangsa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, talking about the topmost kind of devotee, said, one who is expert in Shastra Yukti, which Srila Prabhupada translated as arguments based on scripture, one who is expert in that, very expert, and who has firm faith, is a topmost devotee and can deliver the whole world. Shastra Yukti, can also mean, apart from argumentation based on scripture, can also mean harmonization. Here's from a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Tushta Krishna Das, or Swami, I believe it was at the time, who was, it's a long history. I won't get into it here and now. Every student is expected to become an acharya. Acharya means one who knows the scriptural injunctions and follows them practically in life and teaches them to his disciples. This is Srila Prabhupada's paraphrasing of a verse from Shastra, which he's quoted several times and which I've quoted several times in this series of talks. Keep trained up very rigidly and then you are a bona fide guru and you can accept disciples on the same principle. I want to see my disciples become bona fide spiritual masters and spread Krishna consciousness very widely. That will make me and Krishna very happy. This is a very important point. Srila Prabhupada was completely consistent in his statements about his vision for the continuation of the disciplic succession after his departure. Very important point. Following these instructions and the examples shown in Vedic culture since time immemorial, some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples after his departure have become gurus and accepted disciples of their own. Okay, very clear and very straightforward. But, someone will say, and we can't ignore that but, that not all of these gurus have lived up to their responsibilities, and this has naturally caused disturbances. That could be called a euphemistic statement. Yeah, anyone who knows the history knows that it's a bit of an understatement, to say the least, although there haven't been much in the line of major disturbances for quite some time now. As I described in one of my series of talks on guru issues, quoting from Narahari Sharkar's Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, this is nothing new, that there are problems with gurus. However, because Ritvikism violates both the Vedic principle of disciplic succession and Srila Prabhupada's direct instruction that his disciples become regular gurus, ISKCON has rejected it. Rather than whimsically changing the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, as the advocates of the Ritvik theory have done, ISKCON prefers to address these problems by making better efforts to follow his instructions and come to the standard he gave us. The English is pretty clear. The understanding is pretty clear. You can quibble and waffle, but it's pretty clear. Advocates of the Ritvik theory seek to justify their cause solely through a distorted and false interpretation of a single letter written by Srila Prabhupada's secretary on July the 9th, 1977. Well, to be fair, they also bring in one conversation about that, and that will be discussed in here. The July the 9th letter does not mention Srila Prabhupada's departure, nor does it refer to how he intended initiations to go on after his physical departure. Srila Prabhupada directed that a number of senior disciples should answer the letters and conduct initiation ceremonies on his behalf, with the new initiates becoming Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So yes, Srila Prabhupada did establish a Ritvik or proxy system in the latter part of 1977. He did. That's not disputed. What the proponents of the Ritvik theory want to say is that Srila Prabhupada intended this to go on forever. Although there's no indication that Srila Prabhupada meant to overturn the whole system of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and the whole method of initiation that he himself had been talking about, that his disciples would initiate in future. There's no indication in that. So it's understood. It was for a few months, but exactly how long ago? And it was meant to be while Srila Prabhupada was physically present, because Srila Prabhupada was not at that time able to travel widely and take a lot of physical strain in his pastimes of being sick. There was hope that Srila Prabhupada would recover, but Srila Prabhupada instituted this system for the time being, with the idea that if he was to recover his health, as his disciples were hoping, that he would continue to initiate. But in the meantime, this system was put in place because the number of uninitiated devotees waiting to be initiated was building up. As it happened, Srila Prabhupada passed away before the end of 1977. So they were the devotees who initiated, they were doing so on Srila Prabhupada's behalf because the etiquette is that one does not initiate while one's own Diksha Guru is still present. The history, this is it in brief. And there are various versions and interpretations and interpolations of what it is, but what is going to be presented here is in brief and it's pretty much indisputable. Of course, there are those who will dispute anything. What can you do? Srila Prabhupada asked the GBC, Srila Prabhupada, who was in Vrindavan, asked the GBC members who were present there, he'd called them, to come to him with questions on any major points they wanted clarification and confirmation on. I can add here with the understanding that Srila Prabhupada, there were strong indications that Srila Prabhupada would not be present with us much longer. And it was something that had to be dealt with, even though the disciples, they didn't want to think about it in one way, but another way, it was their responsibility to think about it. The conversations, the questions, and Srila Prabhupada's answers were recorded on May the 28th, 1977. So Srila Prabhupada said, anything you want clarification and confirmation on, ask me now. Because I may not be here very much longer. That was the implication. One of the questions that the GBC asked, our next question concerns initiations in the future, particularly at that time when you're no longer with us. We want to know how first and second initiation would be conducted. Now you may say, well, if it was clear that Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to initiate in future, why should the question even be asked? It's easy to say that in hindsight, but I can say as someone who was actually initiated by Srila Prabhupada, not sometimes you see someone call himself a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, a 20-year-old boy. You can call yourself a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, but as imagining yourself to be initiated by the Ritvik system. But I was there in the movement at that time, and it was very difficult for us to imagine Krishna consciousness without the physical presence of Srila Prabhupada. That's just the way it was at the time. And Srila Prabhupada was the guru of everyone, and it was like Srila Prabhupada was so great. And then among the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, some were certainly seen as being much more senior and much more advanced than others. But in relationship to Srila Prabhupada, we were all very small. That's the way we saw ourselves. And we had the idea, well, guru means just super paramahamsa like Srila Prabhupada. That understanding or maybe misunderstanding that, well, that's again a guru issue. Actually, guru should be topmost paramahamsa and this and that. But the idea that the initiation process should stop if we don't have someone on that super high level, that is the point of contention. And that you can just make up a new system if you don't like the gurus who are around now. That's the Ritvik heresy or hoax. But it was difficult for most of the devotees to even imagine anyone else initiating. Srila Prabhupada replied, Okay, Srila Prabhupada started by explaining the system to be practiced while he is physically present. What is the relationship of that person who gives the initiation? Or rather, the discussion was first about this system of initiation that Srila Prabhupada put in place with proxies. Srila Prabhupada, he's guru, satsuru, but he does it on your behalf. Yes, that is a formality, because in my presence, one should not become a guru. So on my behalf, on my order, amarangya guru hoya, be actually guru, but by my order. So there are two things going on here. Of course, there may be so many interpretations of these words, because Srila Prabhupada was talking about in my presence one should not be a guru. But then he goes on to talk about, as we shall see, initiations when he's not present. After explaining how initiations would go on while he was still physically present, Srila Prabhupada then states how initiations should go on when he was no longer physically present. The people they give diksha to, whose disciple are they? They're his disciple. Who is initiating? He is grand disciple. When I order you become guru, he becomes a regular guru. That's all. He becomes disciple of my disciple. That's it. It's pretty clear. Pretty clear. Srila Prabhupada maintained the Vedic tradition that his disciples should become regular gurus with disciples of their own, but only after his departure and only if they were qualified. Straightforward, what Jayadvaita Swami calls plain vanilla. Here's a very important point. If Srila Prabhupada were proposing such a drastic break from Vedic tradition that everyone in future would be initiated by him, which is not the practice in any bona fide or any Vedic sampradaya. If Prabhupada were proposing such a drastic break from Vedic tradition after so carefully presenting all the other aspects of philosophy and practice, one would expect to find many statements by him on this topic. Yet the advocates of the Ritvik theory have never produced even a single statement by Srila Prabhupada in which he says that he would continue to initiate disciples after his physical departure. There are statements such as, Srila Prabhupada said, I will live forever in my books. For instance, but how does he live forever in his books? It's not exactly the same as his physical presence and physical absence. This is a point which the Ritvikvadis spectacularly miss. They think they're glorifying, the advocates of the Ritvik theory think we're praising Srila Prabhupada, he's so great, only he can be a guru. But what they're actually saying is Srila Prabhupada is so powerful and so potent, but he couldn't even produce one single disciple qualified to become a regular guru and accept disciples. That's the implication of what they're saying. Followers of the Ritvik theory may believe that Srila Prabhupada accepts them as initiated disciples, but where is the tangible confirmation of this? Rather, this view is only their wishful thinking. And there can be so many things said. If you think, well, I can have Prabhupada directly as my guru, even though he hasn't been physically present in this world for so many years, well, why not Bhakti? I like Bhakti Stansaswari. Maybe I'll become a disciple of Rupa Goswami directly. Maybe I'll become a disciple of Krishna directly. What do you need all these other people in between for? In 1990, the GBC officially rejected the Ritvik philosophy, concluding that it violates the Vedic system and Srila Prabhupada's direct instructions. This is the GBC resolution in that regard. The doctrine that Srila Prabhupada continues to initiate direct Diksha disciples after his departure from this world through officiating priests, Ritviks, is a dangerous philosophical deviation. It is totally prohibited in ISKCON. Although we do hear of closet Ritviks. Closet Ritvikvadis would be more correct. No devotee shall participate in such posthumous Ritvik initiation ceremonies in any capacity, including acting as Ritvik, initiate, assistant, organizer, or financier. No ISKCON devotee shall advocate or support its practice. So the Ritvik thing is going on parallel with the official ISKCON. Parallel, yeah, I guess you could use that word. Change the practice and the lineage is lost. Lose the lineage and we are lost. We would be flying blind. What is shown on the screen are the lights at an airport that are used for planes to land at night. In the days before computer-assisted flying, it'd be very, very hard to land a plane at night. It's almost certain to crash unless we have a clear line. You can see it's a line, a clear line lit up about where we're supposed to be going. Among gurus in a sampradaya, the founder acharya holds a special position. Actually, what we have, as we saw in a previous slide near the beginning, we have the sampradaya acharyas that we have. We have Rudra is the original founder of the Rudra Sampradaya, Shiva. And then we have Vishnu Swami, who in this Kali Yuga, on this planet, has perpetuated the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. So he's the Sampradaya Acharya of the Rudra Sampradaya. And that Sampradaya faded away. And it's now represented as the Vallabh Sampradaya. So Vallabh Acharya is the Sampradaya Acharya of what's called the Vallabh Sampradaya. Then we have the Brahma Sampradaya from Brahma. Krishna Hoite Chaturmukha Hoi Krishna Shivan Mukha. So the line of Brahma comes down in this Kali Yuga on this planet through Madhvacharya, who is known as the Sampradaya Acharya. And in the Gaurya line of the Madhva Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sampradaya Acharya, of course, he gave that task to Rupa Goswami, so we're known as Rupanuga, so Rupa Goswami can also be considered the Sampradaya Acharya of the Gaurya Vaishnavas. And we have the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, from Sri Lakshmi, of whom the Sampradaya Acharya in this Kali Yuga on this planet is Sri Ramanujacharya, and we have the Hamsa Sampradaya coming down through the four Kumaras, and then on this planet, in this Kali Yuga, through Nimbarkacharya. So Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder acharya, he's the founder acharya of ISKCON, and he stressed he is the founder hyphen acharya. Not, he didn't stress as the Ritvikvadis claim. They just change it a little bit, founder and acharya, which changes the meaning. Although Srila Prabhupada did use this term founder and acharya rarely, but officially he wanted founder hyphen acharya, which means there are going to be other acharyas of ISKCON, within ISKCON. But he is the founder hyphen acharya. If you say founder and acharya, that means no more acharyas. So yes, ISKCON is a very special branch of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. It's the one which fulfills Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart's desire that Krishna consciousness be spread all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada made very clear his position as founder, acharya of that. ISKCON. That's been covered in another PowerPoint presentation. So he's the Shiksha Guru for all the following members of his line. And actually, we can say all the previous Acharyas are our Shiksha Gurus, but of course, Srila Prabhupada's position within ISKCON is and always will be very special. If you're wondering what this telegraph line is supposed to represent, well, it means that the current, it's just like, or maybe it's electric, whatever it is, the current goes from post to post, and it's just passed on like that. So this is a whole coming from the source, and the current is transferred. Right, you have a huge powerhouse somewhere, and you have someone running an electric fan at some great distance, going through so many pylons, but the current comes through, even though it's from a long distance, thanks to the various pylons which help to support the current being transmitted, and this comparison can be for the pylons. Gurus in this analogy can be compared to pylons. The mystery of the Sampradaya. The experience is direct via the spiritual master. 1875. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes, one has to understand Krishna not directly but through the medium of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of the disciplic succession. So one has to hear through the spiritual master, but the experience of Krishna consciousness is direct. So we can directly go to Krishna, we can directly perceive Krishna by chanting his holy names, by serving him, by feeling his presence in our heart, by serving the deity. We have a direct connection with Krishna in one sense, but at the same time, that connection with Krishna is mediated via the spiritual master. So we can say it's direct and indirect at the same time. It's just like we can see something at a distance, but if we wear glasses, that brings it into focus. That's an analogy given here. Binoculars could also be used. And we may say, well, I don't want to be initiated by anyone. I want to be initiated by Srila Prabhupada directly. You may say, I want to be. You say, it's not the same. It's just not the same. Well, it may not be the same. It may be better to be initiated by a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, because as Srila Prabhupada stated several times, we can get the mercy of the previous acharyas more by going through the bona fide disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter to his very dear disciple, Brahmananda Prabhu. This is a letter from 1968, Srila Prabhupada wrote, you should always pray to his divine grace, because naturally he will be more affectionate to you than to me. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati will be more affectionate toward a disciple of Srila Prabhupada than to, more affectionate to anyone than this dear disciple, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. How is that? Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain. Generally, one is more affectionate to the grandchildren than to the children directly. So I am sure that my Guru Maharaj will be easily inclined to your prayers than that of mine. This is sensational. Someone who's just new in Krishna consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada says, my Guru will be more inclined to your prayers than to mine. His great, Srila Prabhupada being the great empowered Acharya disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but he says, you're going to get the mercy more than me. You will do good always by offering your prayers to His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj. So you can see that Srila Prabhupada, he was very much aware that he is primarily a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and that he's initiating others, bringing them to the lotus feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So it's the same with any guru. You say that, well, the Ritvik initiates on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Well, I also initiate on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. I don't think I am the representative of God who has fallen from the sky and I'm initiating you. Every guru thinks I'm initiating on the order of and by the mercy received from my guru. It's just that you don't concoct a system of saying that, well, actually, I'm not initiating. I'm giving you the beads, I'm giving you the name, I'm instructing you, but I'm not your guru. That's the concoction of Ritvikism. Here's another letter, or extract from another letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote, "My dear boys and girls, you are working so hard for broadcasting the glories of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, and thus my Guru Maharaj will be so pleased upon you. Surely my Guru Maharaj will bestow his blessing 1,000 times more than me." So we do have a strong link with Srila Prabhupada. It's not that there's someone standing in the way, but the link should be according to the traditional system which Srila Prabhupada taught and upheld. Now, here's an interesting point. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who presented the deepest understanding of Lord Chaitanya and his teaching, that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is accepted both by Vaishnava scholars and by secular scholars, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita is the final word, in the words of, can't remember his name now, the scholar. I was going to say Tony Robbins, but Tony Stewart, who wrote a book called The Final Word, showing how Chaitanya Charitamrita is the definitive text for Gauriyas on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami didn't meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ever. He was a grand disciple. He understood through his guru, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Rahumara Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahi Krishna Das. Raghunath Das Goswami had a lot of association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but even Raghunath Das himself went to take direct shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you serve under Swarup Damodar, you take instruction from him. But Raghunath saw and he was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept him at a little distance, you could say, but Raghunath Das Goswami was present during many of the pastimes of the Antya Leela, which was especially what Chaitanya Charitamrita was being composed for, because the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were not given in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Raghunath Das Goswami told these things to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote them down. And in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was a disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami, but there's no doubt about his connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he's able to transmit to us even now, and which Srila Prabhupada gave us in the form of the translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the experience is direct, but at the same time, no one, not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not Raghunath Das Goswami, not Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, nor any of the acharyas, even imagined some system of stopping all initiations by future physically present devotees. In a verse toward the end of the 19th chapter of the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are four pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described in that chapter. And in the verse, it describes those four pastimes, it summarizes them. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport writes, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that he's been able to describe these four pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was not actually a direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami, but he followed the instructions given by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He therefore acted according to the directions of Rupa Goswami and prayed in every chapter for his mercy. So, questions and answers. Well, Srila Prabhupada, he could make a Ritvik system. Yeah, could he? Yeah, of course he could. But it's not a question of our willingness or unwillingness to accept that Srila Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, could establish a new system of initiation. Actually, it could even be said that there's no question of... He could have said that, no doubt, but would he ever have done so? It's hardly imaginable because Srila Prabhupada was a follower of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So what did Srila Prabhupada actually say? It's a simple question of knowing and accepting what he actually said. And what he said is grand disciple, disciple of my disciple, regular guru. Now, in that conversation, there's also the term comes up, officiating acharya. That's in relation, yeah, that's the Ritvik, which actually Tamal Krishna Maharaj brought up the word Ritvik. Is that called a Ritvik? That's also in that conversation in which Srila Prabhupada says, grand disciple, disciple of my disciple, regular guru. Now that term, officiating acharya, or Ritvik, it comes up in the same conversation, no doubt. But that, if you see the context is, if you don't see these in the same conversation, the words grand disciple, disciple of my disciple, regular guru, then you might not see that Srila Prabhupada is saying officiating acharya in regards to his presence while he's there. Because as Srila Prabhupada said in that same conversation, the etiquette is as long as the guru is present, you bring people to the, you bring people to that present acharya. Now, we have people newly inducted into the Ritvik system who are very well aware that Srila Prabhupada said officiating acharya in that conversation, but no one tells them. They don't know that Srila Prabhupada also said grand disciple, disciple of my disciple, regular guru. That's why the Ritvik hoax. They're not telling you everything. Although Srila Prabhupada wrote and spoke about his disciples becoming regular gurus, didn't he change his mind as he prepared to leave the planet, seeing that they were not qualified? Well, that's the contention of the Ritvikvadis. But when Srila Prabhupada was asked whether he was dissatisfied with his disciples, or when the question came up, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was dissatisfied with his disciples, as we heard from our own Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he denied that. He's not dissatisfied. When he was asked if he was leaving any work unfinished, he said, yes, I have not established Varnashram Dharma. That would have been just the time to state that he, I was not able to create any disciples qualified to be gurus. He didn't say that. If regular gurus is the system Srila Prabhupada wanted, why have we had so many problems with it? That's a big question. Maybe that's at the crux of much of what I'm going to discuss and have discussed in this series of talks on guru issues. But then we've had so many problems with gurukuls, sannyasis, and marriages. Should we stop all marriages because there are so many problems with marriages? Should we stop all sannyasis because we've had problems with sannyasis? Well, Srila Prabhupada actually did say that at one time, I'm not going to give any more sannyas initiations. But then he changed his mind and did give more sannyas initiations after that. We've had problems with gurukuls. Does that mean we should stop having gurukuls? We've had so many problems with ISKCON. Should we stop ISKCON? We've had so many problems preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. Should we stop preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world? It's a fallacy to say we've had so many problems with it, therefore we should change the system. Rather, we have to work with the system to bring it up to the proper standard, just like giving initiation, sannyasa initiation in ISKCON. It is a more strict system than it used to be. And the results are there to see. We don't have so many problems as we used to have. So that we have a problem in establishing the order of the guru doesn't mean that the order or our understanding of it are wrong. And again, I can refer to that talk I gave on Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, in which it's discussed about problems with gurus. This is at the time of Lord Chaitanya. But no one imagined that you stop this system of having gurus because there are problems with it. Wouldn't Ritvik be a better system, or couldn't we have both systems simultaneously? Some initiates can opt for ISKCON gurus, some can opt for Ritvik from Srila Prabhupada. It's just a speculation. It's just, you just can't make something up. There's a problem here. Okay, let's make up a solution. Our duty and salvation is in following the orders of our founder Acharya. Many thought the zonal Acharya system sounded great, but in time it bore unexpected and bitter fruit. The great Acharyas are Trilochan, or more commonly Trikalagya. They can perfectly see past, present, and future. Again, our duty and guarantee of success is in simply following the orders of the Acharyas. Unwritten order is more important than spoken orders, the May conversation being spoken, the July letter being written. Of course, the July letter, if you want to get, you know, these May conversation and July letter, they've been pored over, and legalistic attempts to interpret them in various ways have been made. Of course, the July letter about having 11 to act as officiate or give initiation on Srila Prabhupada's behalf, that was also spoken before it was written, it's put in writing. But then you can say, well, the May conversation is also written down now. Guru Mukha Padmavakya, Narottam Das Thakur enjoins us to be purified by the words emanating from the mouth of the spiritual master. Also, the May conversation was not just any conversation. It was an extremely formal and sober discussion. Srila Prabhupada had personally petitioned the GBC to meet together, decide if there were any important issues that needed further clarification before he departed, and then to come before him to discuss the issues. The questions were in writing, and the answers were written down and entered into the GBC minutes books and signed by all the GBC's presence. So yeah, it went into writing very quickly. Doesn't the July letter prove that Srila Prabhupada wanted a proxy system? Well, yes, it does. It proves that he wanted a proxy system for the remainder of time he was physically present on the planet, or actually for at least while he was going through the phase of manifesting the pastime of sickness. No one contests that. It was intended as a time-bound system. It wasn't meant to be forever. He never said that. This is forever and ever and ever. There's just some imagination. As presented earlier, ultimately all future initiated devotees are Srila Prabhupada's disciples in that they are following him and connected to him via the Guru Parampara system, just like I am a disciple of Rupa Goswami. I am a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but I'm not a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in exactly the same way as my guru is a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We're disciples in as much as we follow. That's probably a more important thing to consider. Are we actually following? Disciple means follower, not speculator. In this sense, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, one can become not only his disciple, but at the same time the disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the six Goswamis, and all the other Acharyas in Srila Prabhupada's line. Srila Prabhupada said, when I order you, become guru. When did he give the order? Now that's one of the linchpins of the Ritvik misinterpretation. Prabhupada didn't give the order, so that means You shouldn't become a guru. But it's taken out of context. Previously in that conversation, Srila Prabhupada said, on my behalf, on my order, Amar Agyai Guru Hoya, be actually guru, but by my order. So when I order, you become guru. And Srila Prabhupada just said, on my behalf, on my order, be actually guru, but by my order, which again indicates we have to follow Srila Prabhupada's orders. This is the ABCs of spiritual understanding. The Ritvik advocates present a complex set of speculative arguments. Really, really, you got to give it to them. They've got a very, very fertile brains for dreaming up all kinds of complex arguments instead of taking the straightforward matter, legalistic arguments. Their famous book is called The Final Order. They say you shouldn't read any books except Srila Prabhupada's books, but they have their own book called The Final Order. The only problem in which they say the final order is that Srila Prabhupada said that there should be no more initiating gurus. I'm the last initiating guru. Everyone in future should be initiated by me. The only problem is there is no such final order from Srila Prabhupada like that. They cannot provide one single piece of evidence to answer the key question, where did Srila Prabhupada say that he will continue to accept disciples after his physical departure? It's just not there. Their whole case is built on sand. For those of you who don't know, if you build a house on sand, it will collapse very soon. It is smoke and mirrors, which is an idiomatic English saying is that it's a bluff. The bottom line, Srila Prabhupada was formally asked by the GBC, our next question concerns initiations in the future, particularly at the time when you're no longer with us. Srila Prabhupada answered, regular guru, grand disciple, disciple of my disciple, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And I'm sure that the proponents of Ritvikism will have a lot of fun with this, and they'll analyze every word I say, and if a word is out of place, they'll make a big thing out of it, and maybe they'll make a big thing out of my expressions and my eye movements and maybe the way I'm dressed and anything else they can find fault with in their speculative minds. They're really wasting their lives. As they say in America, go get a life. Hare Krishna. All glories His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padayo nipatya kritva cha kakushata metad ahambravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna.